With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's just me at the top of the show to let you know of a few things. So yes, I'm sorry, Gold Coast. Last week got cancelled, or well, this week, I'm still currently there, I meant to be, but it got cancelled, or not cancelled, got postponed. So I'll be doing it in September, September 18th, so if you're on the Gold Coast, I'll be there. But I'm also doing a bunch of shows around the country before that as well. So Tassie, I'm going to be there July 21 and 23 in Hobart, one at the Jokers, one at the casino, so make sure you come along to those if you're in Tassie, if you're in Hobart. Then I'm going to be up in Brisbane doing the Brisbane Comedy Festival, two podcasts there, July 31st, August 1st. Then I'm going to be down in Melbourne doing the two birthday shows that got postponed before. So that's going to be August 7, August 8 at Comedy Republic. Then I'm going to be in Adelaide August 13, August 14, August 13 doing the Rhino Room, August 14 doing apparently with Ben Lomas. So that'll be lots of fun. Then October 2, I'm going to be over in Perth. So I'm going to be doing a podcast there at Oasis Comedy Club at the Brisbane Hotel, plus getting up that week in Perth doing shows. I'm also doing a kids show August 7 at Comedy Republic. So if you've got kids, age between like 4 and 10, I'd say, I think they'll really dig the show, okay? It's a really nice show. It's called Humankind, and then I'm going to be taking that to Perth as well for the Awesome Arts Festival. All of these dates are on joshearl.com.au. So go over there, get some tickets, buy them all up so I don't have to start the show every week by saying, hey, come and see me do comedy. Hey, I've also got a whole bunch of t-shirts for sale, the brand new t-shirts, the big head one that you all like saying, hey, that's a really cool design. I want it on a t-shirt. Well, now I do. It's on a black AS color t-shirt. It looks very cool. I've already been shipping a whole bunch out. So thanks everyone who's already bought one. If you want one, go to joshearl.com.au/merch. You'll get them there. I've also got some of the old ones too, the white ones with the Celeste Potter design of the Thinking Man. So if you want one of those to get them while stocks are very low. Thanks everyone for being Patreon subscribers. You guys are the best, keeping the lights on. Go to patreon.com/dykwia. New episodes of Top 5 every single Monday. So make sure you go on there and listen to them all. They're very, very funny. Speaking of funny, this episode, enjoy with Matt O'Kine, Zoe Kunzma, Brent Griffin, aka Spod, and Ben Jenkins. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week I discovered on the internet I share my name with a Texan man who is the assistant manager of Schlotsky's Sandwiches in Red Rock, who post-COVID, in order to entice customers back into the store, they ran a competition where you got the chance to have a sandwich with Brian Baumgartner, the actor who played Kevin in The Office. What a comp. I'd love to win that.
Now we're talking.
What?
He played Kevin.
Wow.
So do you actually go in, like, you have
go
a
in
sandwich
the store
with him?
Yeah, he's there. He has a sandwich with Brian or Kevin from The Office.
What the?
That would be really awkward.
How I reckon it would? You'd want at least half hour. How?
To get through all the questions you'd have for Kevin from The Office.
Which one's Kevin?
The
I bald
think
he's
guy.
The bald guy?
The big guy. The kind
which
of weird bald guy in The Office.
Which office are we talking? The American one?
American office,
American, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That, okay.
Why would Kevin from The Office do that?
You're right.
He either owes money to that sandwich shop, like he had too many sandwiches, and he's like, can I just work it off, man? Like, maybe I'll do some.
Come on, Brian. You don't know how to make a sandwich?
Idea.
Yeah, exactly.
And they look good sandwiches too. I'd be very happy with a sandwich from there.
Well, that's why he ate so many and worked up that big debt.
Now is in the hole.
Might be a side hustle.
Yeah.
Or it's like his brother or something.
Yeah, it'd have to be a family member, is a big sandwich person, and that's just it.
Yeah.
Do you guys think, because I love a free sandwich, honestly.
How many are you getting?
Yeah, I've never got a free sandwich, and my surname's Earl. Surely Earl of Sandwich is an easy sell for people.
Let me tell you something, guys. I wasn't going to bring this up because I didn't want to just kick off this pod with some outrageous boasting. But the,
you are Jared from Subway. No? Okay.
Let's hope not.
Well, did he turn out to be a pedophile?
Yeah.
Big time.
That's exactly
big
why
time.
Ben is not going to be Jared from Subway. Not the greatest rap.
The sandwich shop across the road from where I work at SBS is one of those old sandwich shops that just sort of has like a bunch of tubs with condiments in it and white bread and that. And sometimes when I'm feeling real hungry, I ask for two sandwiches. And the lady giggles, laughs, says something about how I'm going to get fat, and then doesn't charge me for the second one. I would say 50% of the time.
Wow.
So, yes, that's when I get a free sandwich, Matt O'Connor.
You're just like Kevin from The Office. You got a sandwich hustle of your own.
I think I know a new...
This person is terrible at selling sandwiches. I just don't understand.
I think they're going under.
Yeah, it's a like, bad business plan.
It's like your little secret. And she likes being on the inside of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like gear we have.
Who are these voices, people? Let's meet them now.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, our first guest. No, it's good. Our first guest, last time was on the show, jokingly told me that she hated one of the other guests. And I told her I'll bump them. And then she told me she was only joking. Can you please welcome the most powerful woman in podcasting? It is Zoe Kuzma.
Hey, hello. And that person was Sam Taunton. And then we told him. And I was like, just so you know, Taunts. I would have had you bumped. Joshua was in a second, in a heartbeat, was like, was he's like, off.
Yeah.
He doesn't exist. He's not even in my phone anymore. I don't know
That's
who you're talking
incredible.
About.
Incredible.
Oh, it was wonderful. I've never felt so powerful. Thanks for having me back.
Not to stand up for Sam too much, but like I thought it's easier to replace a white man in comedy with a white man in comedy. That's all. That's all I thought.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I was going to demand that I'd only do this podcast if you only referred to me as a rapper. I didn't realize that people like Zoe were out here flexing even harder. Like, that's full on.
Yeah, I had you. You all have all been vetted, by the way.
Yeah,
through me.
Oh, it's thrilling to know that we made the cut.
Yeah. Many didn't.
Also joining us is a comedian who is the only person in the world who has their name. But I did find a Nigerian woman called Matta O'Kine on Facebook with very strict privacy settings. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's rapper Matta O'Kine.
Hey, Matta O'Kine, MATTA.
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting. I mean, O'Kine's not really a traditional Ghanaian name. It's sort of dad anglicised it to sort of, you know.
Yeah, well, she's Nigerian, so I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, big world apart, you know.
Do you know, Matt, I once saw your name on a call sheet or a bill or something with an apostrophe between the O and K as if it was like an Irish name.
Yeah, do you know what? My grandmother, up until, I mean, really, honestly, probably still, used to address my birthday cards with the apostrophe. That's my grandma. I'm like, Dawn, what? Anyway, shout out to Dawn Corn.
Also joining us is a first timer to the podcast. He's a musician whose alias shares its name with a Perth t-shirt company. Can you please welcome... It's musician Brent Griffin, a.k.a. Spod. Yay!
Yay!
And I also share my name with apparently like, they're like chum things for fishing. So if you Google Spod, like...
That's what comes up.
The first thing that comes up, these disgusting, they look like a bomb full of fish guts.
Oh,
yum. So, you know, I'm life on top.
You can buy one from the body shop. Just throw in the bath.
Yeah, it's like, it's a bath bomb. Every night I bathe myself in fish guts.
And finally
Cleopatra used to do it.
Finally, he's a comedian who shares his name with the head of audience growth and digital innovation for the Richmond Football Club in Melbourne. Can you please welcome from the feed and SBS, it's Ben Jenkins. Yay.
Hello. I get that, guys, because I think that guy used to be at ABC.
Possibly.
He gets a lot of my emails and I get a lot of his emails.
Oh, right. Did you also used to get cop any flack for having the initials BJ?
Do you know what, Matt O'Kine? I sort of did. I sort of really did. And I'd sort of managed to not think about that for a while. But I was talking to my friend Bridie Jabor about this very thing recently.
See, this is so weird because my friend, his name is and he was always known as and then he moved to Brisbane and then gave himself the nickname BJ. Gave it himself, like, new city. And went, oh, yeah,
where's
my name's
J
BJ.
Come from?
His middle name's John. It's like, what are you doing? Like, that's a...
Okay.
That's...
But what about when...
So much better.
Have you ever, have you ever met someone whose name... I remember everyone used to call this guy Tex. And I thought that was his name. I literally, but for years I thought that was his name. And then it ended up it was like Christopher. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm just from Texas in Queensland. Like, what the? I've known you as Tex. In my head, you're Tex.
Yeah.
I thought you were like Tex Perkins or something.
I knew a guy whose name was either Sean or Josh, and it was like at uni, and we were like, you're not a Sean. You seem more like a Josh. But then we started calling him Sean Josh, but no one could remember which one was the real
even
name him. And which was the, yeah, and so then he just became Sean Josh forever, and it's like, I don't know.
I think that's a surprisingly common thing that I thought we were really unique. At school, there was a guy called Andrew, and we were like, nah, you're Darren, and he was just Darren. But I think it's a thing that a lot of apparently quite cruel people do.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, nah.
Just in rename hindsight, someone. Yeah. I'm going to strip you of your identity and decide who you are.
Yeah, totally.
The name that your mum loves doesn't exist anymore.
Your parents, wrong.
Yeah, you're now Fredo.
Our first game today is called Social Meter. I'm going to read out status updates by the four of you. If you know who wrote these tweets, buzz in. Your name's your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right. A point to the person actually wrote it if you're incorrect, so you can't lose points. So don't worry about getting it wrong. Okay, our first question is this one. I find old cables in my house that I know I should throw out, but then I'm like, nah, better keep it just in case someone comes around with a Nokia N95 and needs to connect it to the fax machine.
Zoe.
Yes, Zoe.
Oh. I reckon that's Matt O'Kine.
That is Matt O'Kine, yeah.
Point yeah, there classic Zoe, O'Kine gear.
Yeah, that's pretty traditional O'Kine stuff. Yeah, hey? that is one tweet that has been flogged so many times by, it'll just be one of those tweets where I wake up and it's like those big meme sites have posted it again.
Sure, yeah.
It just goes round and around. It's the gift that keeps on giving, except I get fuck all. Like nothing. I'll be like, it's like you know, some site like I Am 30 as Fuck will post it, and I'm like, wow, 2 million followers. Let's watch the O'Kine followers roll in. Not a single person gives a shit, yeah. And I lose bots, and I'm like, this is fucked. I hate this whole system.
I had a tweet recently that did that thing, but it was worse than that. A teen reading it out on TikTok got more likes than the tweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. I discovered someone was like, have you like ever searched your name on TikTok? And I was like, no, I'm 36. Like, but then I did, and they were like, you should. And there's like grabs. I don't know if anyone else has it. There's grabs of my stand-up as like audio, and there are teens who lip sync to it.
Oh, are doing your stand-up.
Doing my stand-up.
Wow.
And they're like, it's
now,
so
now Zoe, this is a podcast.
Yeah,
so
I know that was for you guys. For the listeners at home, I was miming myself, but I couldn't. Yeah, anyway, I'm lip syncing myself right now. But
yeah,
you are
very tightly done.
That's everything. Brilliant.
But yeah, it's so bizarre. It's like heaps of like teens in India doing my. Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna try and find it. I've just joined TikTok, so I'll do
weird.
It.
Yeah, it's really odd.
Question two. Who called it a toxic workplace culture and not a staff infection?
Oh, that is a Zoe Koomsma special.
Yeah, that sounds like Zoe, a Zoe Koomsma for sure.
You got me.
Have you ever worked at a workplace, Zoe?
Never, no.
Like at a proper work? Like have you ever worked in an office or anything like that?
I mean, I worked in my dad's office. Like,
oh, okay, what was that?
Like, well, he's a solicitor. He was a family, he's a family lawyer solicitor in the country. So I did a lot of photocopying, putting things in envelopes. Yeah.
That's Zoe does not strike me as someone who's ever had to fill out expenses.
Yeah.
No.
Did you do lots of shredding at the office?
Loved to shred.
Yeah.
It's the greatest. So I did that, but I worked in like just shitty hospitality jobs forever, like always just like cleaning up other people's vomit and then staying in the bar and getting wasted and then vomiting myself. That's kind of my workplace.
Circle of
life. Yeah, it's beautiful. You've got to, that's renewable energy, actually.
All right, question three. I'm going to use my time in lockdown to work on becoming completely demented on the internet.
Zoe.
Yes, Zoe.
I think that is our friend BJ.
it is bad, yes.
Yeah, it do be like so that. Well. It do be like that.
Yeah.
I'm finding
so
this
far so good.
Yeah, yeah, I reckon people have been pretty sane on lockdown this year, or this time.
I've been trying to teach myself to draw, which has gone okay. My son this morning, he's like 2.5. He asked me to draw an apple, and I drew an apple. And then he said, that looked more like a quince. How the fuck does he know what a quince looks like? This fancy little boy.
I don't know what a quince looks like.
He knows too much.
I know what like quince paste looks like. I don't know what a quince looks like before it's pasted.
We like my wife, his mother. She's very into cooking, and I think that he probably possibly saw a quince.
Oh
there.
My god! You're raising a little lord.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. So drawing not going great.
Question 4: I'll be an emerging artist till the day I die.
I'm going to say that's Matt.
Yes,
I'm going to say that's Brent.
That is Brent. Yeah. Point there for Matt. Yeah.
Kind of get my tweets kind of give it away. They're normally just about a guy marching to his deathbed, achieving nothing.
But I saw that you were at you went to South by Southwest in 2007. What was that like?
I did. Oh, that was an absolute clusterfuck.
Oh, why?
Oh, it's just a nightmare.
Like, well, I thought it was supposed to be like the coolest place in the world kind of thing.
Yeah, like it was fun. Like we got wasted and got in a lot of trouble, but from an artist's point of view, it's a bit of a waste of time. But I'm really glad I went. It was fun.
Well, because it's like a market really, isn't it?
But yeah, it's just, you know, like you sort of need sort of a platform sort of pushing you. And I just went and had a bunch of shows. I played with Thomas Dolby, which was hilarious. He had, like, you know, Thomas Dolby, that blinded me with science. No.
He's the man from the speakers.
But, oh, man. Yeah, it was funny. But it was, I can't remember too much of it.
I remember going to Montreal Comedy Festival off the back of a massive Splendor, and I was not match fit.
Montreal's the same. It's the worst. Don't you feel like Montreal is like those sort of markety things that I imagine South by Southwest is the same? It's sort of like you feel like you're the entertainment at someone else's work conference. Like it's not about you at all.
Yeah.
It's just there's like, you know, suits having meetings, and then in the background is you going, so I'm a lesbian.
But isn't it kind of even worse than at like a work conference, because also the disinterested people could change your life forever? Like,
well, you want to do well. I mean, it's a really big, it's a big festival. There's huge names there, you know, like anywhere you look, you're going to see Chelsea Handler or someone like you're just bumping into so many incredible people. But then like, it's also this thing where it's like, it's the first time in ages I've been gamed by like other comics. Like,
it's weird.
You know, we all know each other now. So it's kind of like any gig you do in Australia and everyone just knows each other and no one's trying to like be better than each other.
Yeah.
But in Montreal, it's like everyone's trying to flex so hard backstage and on stage and in the green room that like, oh man.
Real staff infection. It's sort of, I just giggled then because I just remembered being like quite stoned in the middle of the night with Reese Nicholson, and we got into an elevator. Like they had this like bagel stand in the hotel, and you all stay in the hill. It's so bizarre. But we like got these bagels and like went in the lift, and we're like, I just hope we don't run into anyone that we know. And we went in the lift, and then the lift door opened, and like all the cast of SNL walked into the lift, and we were just like, oh no. Absolutely paranoid, and like, oh, it was wild.
But yeah, a lot of those things, like South by, it's like a festival of broken dreams.
You
see a lot of, you know, just peddling in people's, you know, hopes and
the almost
it's kind of depressing,
grim.
Yeah. So
anyways, if anyone from JFL is listening, please, I'll be there in 2022.
I'd happily do the podcast there, guys.
I won't go so hard at Splendor this time.
All right, next question. When is MasterChef going to
do
a
Coochie
Bay? You
were being awfully quiet then, Josh.
Hey, that's what I do as a host. I let the guests shine.
Don't catch yourself bad-mouthing anyone.
I let the guests shine, Matt. That's what it is about being a host, mate. All right, next question. Question 5. When is MasterChef going to do a Coochie Bay Hotel Ice Cream Sundae Challenge?
That's Zoe Kuzma. She's obsessed with that story.
Yes.
No one for this.
Greatest thing that's ever happened.
Now,
2008,
what
a year. Do you remember what
the headline was, Zoe?
The Koji Bay Hotel, the plop thickens. That was one of many, but the main one, of course, was You Made My Mum Eat Poo. Oh.
Yeah. For our international listeners, now Koji Bay is a suburb of Sydney. Mm. Where the hotel there apparently served a family shit in their sundae. That was apparently. Did we get to the bottom of it? Did the lab results come back that there was shit in there?
No, it was definitely because I remember.
The news cycle went for months, and they took it to the police. Then they took samples of it. They went it to a lab. They were like, we don't know whose poo it is, but it's definitely poo. And I think at a certain point they were like, the poo belongs to a woman. Like, it was just this unfolding.
Because I work at the project.
It was so good.
So my job at the project is sometimes I have to pitch the stories for the funny, like, hey, and then this happened at the end of the serious news stories, and I have to pitch those. And the big thing always comes up to me goes, it's on at 6:30, Josh. We can't do shit every night, okay? Like, people are eating their dinner. We can't just do poo. And then the day of the poo jogger was the most exciting day because it went from me going, also this. And going, this is not going to get in, to, oh, that's in, to not only is it in, it's now a huge story. We're leading the show with the poo jogger. And it was like just for the writers in there that day, we were just like, this is the best day of our life. This is so good.
Yeah.
Question 6. Someone who lives in Germany told me that it's extremely commonplace there for couples who share a bed to have separate doonas. This strikes me as the absolute dream, and I'm surprised it hasn't caught on here.
Matt.
Yes, Matt.
I'm going to guess that's a Brent tweet.
No, that's Ben. A point there for Ben.
Ah,
gave it a shot.
I don't know. For some reason, I felt like you'd be a separate doona kind of person.
You know what? I was just listening to that enthralled. I was like, that sounds great.
It is great.
I'm totally down for this.
I'm telling you, it's incredible. Although I don't do it anymore because my wife doesn't like it.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
We've got a sick kid. Oh, not a sick kid, but... doesn't sleep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mentally sick. So we sleep in separate beds all the time anyway. So I'm like, well, we've got separate doonas.
Yeah, you've got the system down pat already.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to have the same doona on separate beds. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally different room.
That wouldn't work.
Extra big doona. Two separate single beds.
Trailing through the whole
huge
line.
Doona.
Tugging.
The kid bouncing on the doona in the middle.
There's something very Dr. Seuss about all this.
Under the doona.
Oh, my God.
All right, question 7. When you're 20, 15 people could turn up to your house at any moment, but when you're 30, it literally takes 2 months of planning to see a friend.
Bam.
Yes, Ben.
That's Matt Okine. That
you
feels like
correct,
Matt Okine to me.
So, yeah, again. Matt Okine. Saw that one on 30 as fuck.
That's another one that keeps doing the rounds, though.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
And every single comment under the... every comment is like, wait till you're 40, then all your friends are dying.
Oh.
Stuff like that.
The death march.
But it is true. I mean, I used to live in a gross ass share house when I'm in my 20s, and just any day, anything could happen. You know, anyone could come over. You just didn't know. And it was just totally normal for a party to start.
I reckon it's a small town thing where you just drop in unannounced. My mum still just does the drop in unannounced to her friends and they're all fine. And I'm like, if someone did that to me, I would fucking lose my mind if someone just dropped in.
I would honestly do the kind of the Phantom Thread speech of like, are you here to kill me? Do you have a gun?
If I'm answering the door, if you've knocked and you haven't said anything, I'm answering the door and know that I have a knife in my hand behind me. Okay, I'm ready. Just in case.
We moved down to Tassie, and down here, people just pull up out front of your house in the car and you have to go out and see them.
Well,
they'll just wait there in their car and you go, oh, all right.
See, that's where
stuff down,
that's where my mum's from, Brent. Whereabouts in Tassie?
Really?
Whereabouts
fucking
in Tassie? Upside Jamaica?
Down town.
Your mum's house.
Yeah. I thought I noticed.
Your room was spare.
The Ween posters in the back. Mum loves Ween. Okay. All right, next question. I've always said come together is about wanking with your mates, and look at me now, losers. I was bloody right all these years. What a time to be alive.
Zoe.
Yes, Zoe.
Brent.
Yes, you are correct.
Whatever,
Zoe. Yeah.
Was it me?
Yeah, it was you.
Oh, shit. I'm like, oh, that's a cool tweet.
What is come together?
The Beatles song.
The Beatles.
Yeah. That's is it about deep that?
Cut. I don't know, but every time I heard it, I always, it has to be. Come it's like, together. Come together right now over me. And I'm like, Paul loves it.
And the story was that Paul McCartney came out like about 5 months ago saying that when the Beatles were starting off and they were playing in Hamburg, they would stay in a room and he and John would quite often masturbate in front of each other.
What?
Why not?
Yeah.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
So wait, Paul McCartney came out and said that.
Sorry, Sir Paul McCartney came out and said that he.
What
he
was
and
the
John,
question that prompted that?
I love that. Are you having a good tour? Paul McCartney. Bless you, Sir Paul.
Because my tweet about it was the Off-White album, but didn't get as much traction as Come Together. Yeah.
Do you think, but you know, like, did he sort of suggest that they like stood in front of each other and did it, or that they just happened to be staying in the same dorm and they would do it?
They were in the same room and then, yeah, they were in the same room and they would just do it, like, they'll just wank in the room. Not like, hey, John, check this out. What do you think?
Right.
Right. Okay. So
check out my new
release. They must have had a little cuddle at some point. Don't you reckon? The Beatles and then all that time, all those drugs and things. They would have.
I just love the idea of when the song would have started to, like when the lyrics would have first started getting written and John and Paul would have looked at each other like, we know what this is about.
Well, it's good my tweet is now verified. So.
Yeah, there you go.
It's good to know.
And all over me, I guess it's written from the perspective of a sale?
Yeah.
No, that's Ringo. Poor Ringo.
On the bottom bunk.
Yeah, on the bottom bunk. It's the bottom bunk. Yeah.
All right, next question. Did we ever get to the bottom of why all shoe repairers also cut keys? Did we ever sort that thing out?
Zoe.
Yes, Zoe.
Matt O'Conn.
Does sound like Matt, but it's a Ben Jenkins.
Oh.
You know what? No, but you're right, Zoe. I have written a tweet like that before as well.
Have you?
Years ago, though. I can't even remember. Like, I can't remember when. But it's one of those things that, or maybe it was a joke I put in my notepad. But anyways, it's true though. Like,
it
how
is.
Did this happen?
I had some unhelpful replies. Somebody was like, "I think some of the machines are the same," and I was like, "Absolutely not. The machines aren't the same.
Not anymore."
So it's all like watch repairing, cutting keys, doing shoes, engraving.
It's fiddly stuff?
Yeah.
Engraving. It's all fiddly stuff.
Yeah.
My guess would be that back when steel cap boots were a thing, everyone's shoes were made like out of steel caps and stuff. They would have molded steel and made keys. That's my guess.
Well, because traditionally cobblers would use like little nails. That's like little metal
go on.
Situation. Yes. It's a bit sort of key-ish. Little
I just
bits
imagine
of
someone
metal
with a
work.
They probably did horseshoes as well, you know, banging out and with hammers. And
yep.
I love these chats about the olden times. You know.
This still doesn't explain why no one's invented a shoe with keys in it, though.
I'm sure Maxwell's smart.
You'd think, I mean, we're doing it the whole wrong way around. The lock should be down. Open. The lock should be right at the bottom of the door and you just walk up to the door and kick it and then it opens with your shoe
All doors
key.
Open inward.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's...
So anyways, get your shit together, locksmiths. Oh, no, wait, locksmiths aren't doing it.
No, the bloody cobblers.
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 All right, and our last question for the first round. Did you know in Australia, every fancy room with a brass doorknob is full of the biggest sooks and whingers you've ever seen, eating nice canapes and crying about something mean someone said to them in 2004? I swear to God.
Matt, I'm going to guess that's Brent.
No, that's Zoe Coombs-Ma there.
Oh, what?
Yeah, sooks and whingers was what gave it away for me.
I thought Brent was laughing at his own tweet because you really started cracking up. I was like, yep.
No, I'm just having a good time listening to these hot tweets.
I don't. What mood was I in that day?
A wordy,
I think you'd just been to a fancy party. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to take them down when I get back on Twitter, mate.
It's like, yeah, so can we break it? Sooks and whinges. Mic
can
drop.
We break it down? Oh, what is it? Man. Every door with a brass door hand. Every door with a brass handle.
Brass door knobs have a bunch of sooks and whinges. Eating nice canapes, crying about something that someone said to him in 2004.
I think I was just saying rich people are the whingers.
It sounds to me like you went to a bad party.
Yeah.
And you got real jaded by it all.
I don't that's know what kind, I was talking about.
That's a tweet that you did at the back of an Uber on the way home while you were cranky about something.
It sounds like it.
It sounds like the kind of tweet that people were tweeting as soon as the 140 characters got blown
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hell yeah, I've got words, let's go.
Before that would have been, I hate brass doorknobs. And now it's like, now it's huge.
Don't disclose the date for that tweet because one of my friends will be like, hey.
Hang on,
that was my wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
Bloody hell.
At the end of that round, the scores are, Brent, you're on 0 points. That's all right. It's still a long game.
I've just
game.
Been enjoying the
That's
ride.
Good. I'm glad. Matt, you're on 1 point. Zoe, you're on 4 points.
I got a lot
points.
Wrong.
Woo.
But in the lead on 5 points, it's Ben Jenkins.
Done.
Wonderful news because I came here to win.
That's good. All right. This round is called Holiday. It'll be so great. Now, remember travel? What a time to be alive. And this time, we reminisce about when we were allowed to do it. And today we're talking about a young Ben Jenkins who was travelling across South America. But while travelling through Argentina, Ben was staying in a man's house. A man who made a wild claim that Ben knew was untrue, but Ben was too polite to confront him. But what was the claim? Was it A, he told Ben that the house had no toilet and he had to go outside or into town? Even though Ben heard a toilet flush a few times when the man went into a room that Ben was told was just a wardrobe. That's A. B. The man told Ben that he was Madonna's ex-boyfriend. Ben asked if he had any photos of the two of them together and the man replied, no, I burnt them all as it's too painful. Even though Ben could see in the Guy CD collection he had two of her albums. Or C. The man claimed he had no knees. Even though he was wearing shorts, could bend his legs, and Ben could clearly see the man had knees. Now, one of these is true. You have to ask Ben as many questions as you want, try and get the truth out of him, but bear in mind, he wants you to get it incorrect. So he gets the point. You can all answer individually. You don't have to answer as a team. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
So with the toilet one,
yeah.
When did you go in, did you discover the toilet?
No, I never saw the toilet because the toilet was, I realised, sort of like an ensuite. So I think the reason he lied is he didn't want me going through his bedroom. That's where he said the cupboard was.
And where did
you
go?
So where did
you
go to the toilet?
There was a pub about, like a little like kind of like, not pub, like a restaurant-y thing that served beer, maybe 15 minutes walk away.
Did you piss on the street at all?
But no, because we were staying, it was this, Cabo Polonia or something. It was this like peninsula. So it was by the beach. So there's plenty of places to piss. But if I needed to do a poo, I'd be walking to the pub.
And how long did you stay there for?
For a week.
And wait, 5 days. Why were you staying in this toilet-less place? Like, was it a B&B or?
It was a B&B, yeah.
B&B,
I was traveling with Kirsten Drysdale and Angela Voipier, and they organised it. One of them.
And wait, where were they staying? Where were they staying? And where were they shitting?
They were in the same. They were in the same place.
Okay, but so you two women that you were traveling with.
They would walk to the
pub. Organised a toiletless place.
They didn't know it was toiletless.
Because I'm not seeing ladies going like, yeah, I'm going to piss on the street in Mexico or whatever.
You would assume
Argentina.
The first thing you would do. The first thing you would do if you found out, they said, like when you turn up to the Airbnb and they said, by the way, there's no toilet here, and you were due to stay there for 7 days, you'd be like, oh yeah, cool, bye. And then you would
Well, it was a pretty remote seaside community, right? This wasn't like, this was a B&B, there wasn't like a hotel or anything like this. I raised all this with them, I should say. And because they'd made the booking, I feel like they felt like they just had to deal with it. And they did.
All right, how old was the guy? Sorry, can I ask questions or is it just Zoe?
Yeah, no, yeah. Everyone can ask questions.
All right.
Not just me.
How old is the guy?
He would have been like 55, mid-50s, 60.
What were the two Madonna albums?
One of them was, I don't remember the other one, but one of them was A Greatest Hits, which I thought was very funny because you wouldn't have A Greatest Hits if you were really into
the
Madonna.
The Immaculate Collection, right?
Yeah.
Did he say when he dated Madonna?
He said sometime in the 80s.
Sometime in the 80s. All right. Well,
I want to point out that he brought this up unprompted.
Where?
It was like a...
yeah.
You would. If you dated Madonna in the 80s, you'd fucking bring it up all the time.
Basically,
opening statement.
You don't need to be prompted for that.
Yeah.
Basically, he sat down with us, gave us a drink when we walked in. We didn't know anything about the place, and he basically started with, you know, Madonna, and we were like the singer, and he was like, yes,
or the mother of Jesus.
Yes. Clarify, please. I used to date her, and I was like, when? And he said in the 80s, and I did, like, I didn't. Josh makes it sound like I was like, give me photos now. But throughout the evening, I was like, hey, do you have any photos of you with Madonna? That would be cool to see. And that's when he said, no, it was too painful. I had to burn them all. And then a couple of days later, I saw that he stole the albums.
Same.
So how had this Argentinian man met, and like, how did the relationship happen?
He said that when she was touring in Buenos Aires, he went to see her and he knew a bouncer, and the bouncer, like, let me be clear, right? I'm not lying, but he's definitely lying. He said a bouncer mate of his got him backstage, and they just, and he did this, connected.
Classic Madonna.
Classic Madonna.
Anyone who goes backstage, it's a relationship.
She was like, well, you know a bouncer. You've already impressed me.
I mean, I can definitely see, was he attractive?
Yeah, he was actually.
So he's like a sexy Argentinian man. She's on tour. She's Madonna. She's got a book called Sex. Like,
sure.
Yeah, but I mean, in my experience, superstars don't like just welcome with open arms some random dude that walks off the street.
I will say
he was like pretty horny, though.
What did he do?
I don't know why I'm trying to convince you that his version of events happened, but I will say that he was
we're just shitting on this guy now.
I will say that he was like fairly charismatic. I have no idea what he did. I just know he ran a B&B now.
Right. Okay.
I don't know what he did at the time. He did something that meant that he knew a bouncer, though.
Well, okay, so let's get onto the knees. was there any indication that he in fact like could be lying that wasn't about to, like, his knees connected to his body? Were there knee boards present?
What are you talking
about?
Did
he ever wear knee pads?
No, he had the most normal legs I had ever seen in my life.
Okay, and by
that is quite a compliment, by the way.
What? How did he say that? Also, like, what, you were having a beer, and he's like, "I got no knees." Like, what was he? How does someone?
Hey, can you pick that up for me? He's like, "Oh, I would."
No, it was kind of like what? It was kind of like that. He was like, "Oh, I don't move around very much because, as you can see, I have no knees."
What?
Yeah, but I mean, is that like someone saying, like, you know, like, oh, I can't wear those jeans
like I'm all
I don't have an ass?
No,
you know, like,
absolutely
is that sort of thing? Obviously, they have an ass.
Absolutely not. He said, I have no knees.
And then what did you say?
I said, oh, I see. And then Ange, who was quite stoned at the time, was like, hang on, what do you mean you have no knees? And he was like, knees, I have none.
And then
knees like an Argentinian word for something. No,
we thought about that, but over the course of the 5 days, he brought it up again and again and again. And on the first day, he told us he was wearing long pants. So we were like, oh, maybe he doesn't have knees. Maybe what he's trying to say is that he's lost his leg from below the knee. But then the next day, he was wearing shorts. So
maybe he's just saying that his knees don't really work very well, and that was just a translation thing. Did he say how he hurt his knees or lost his knees?
Do you know what was never clear, Matt? It was never clear if he was claiming whether or not he was born without knees or whether or not he lost his knees. But I'm telling you, it wasn't a translation thing. He definitely believed, or wanted us to believe, that the thing on your leg where it bends, he didn't have.
So kneecaps.
Yeah, maybe kneecaps, or maybe like he had no cartilage in his knees.
Well, me and Kirsten and Ange did discuss this at length, and we thought that if he didn't have kneecaps, we don't think he could have been able to walk, which he absolutely did.
And did he have mobility issues?
No, not in the... I wouldn't say he was like spry, but you wouldn't look at him and say, now there's a man missing a big part of his legs.
Argentinians are very into their football, and we've seen, you know, people love sliding on their knees when they score goals.
Well, you think he slid them off, like he just like grated his knees off on a soccer field?
He's scored that many goals that he's just
and his kneecaps have just been worn away like an eraser.
Yeah, that's
do it.
It
all again.
Happens all the time.
He slid right onto a cheese grater. It was tragic.
Yeah, exactly. Hayden Quinn did a good tweet about that recently, about bad grass. Anyways.
Let's lock in some answers. Okay, Zoe, what do you think? A, B, or C?
I'm going with the knees.
You're going with the knees, okay. Brent, what do you think?
A.
A? Okay.
Look, I'm
going
to go for
no
Madonna
toilet.
Just to make it interesting.
All right, the correct...
Can I just say, Josh, before you reveal that, yes. That was the most fucking stressful 10 minutes of my life.
Welcome to the show. I'm glad you've come.
I really didn't factor in how much energy it would take to lie for so long.
You did really well.
Look, yeah, I believe.
I honestly believed you. I don't know which one it is, really. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very thankful that people come on the show and are prepared to lie for me. So the correct answer was C, the man said he had no knees. So a point for Zoe, two points for Ben.
No knees. You had the least amount of details on that. So
I just feel like that's something that translation-wise, like he's like, I have no knees, but it means he's like, I've got no cartilage in my knees or something.
I've hurt my knee once.
I think I really fucked myself by saying that Kirsten and Ange were there for the toilet thing. Because you're right, they would have just...
No way. No way.
At the end of the round, the scores are Brent, still on 0 points. Matt, you're still on 1 point. Zoe, you're now on 5 points, but in the lead, even extending his lead on 7 points, it's Ben Jenkins. This round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about someone else on the panel. If you think it's true, you'll say yeah. If it's a lie, you'll say nah. You can ask as many questions as you want, but bear in mind, they want you to get it wrong, so they get your point. So, to Ben now. When Matt O'Kine supported Dave Chappelle, Matt was so nervous about what to call him that he ended up calling him Dan because he mixed Dave and man together. But it turned out to be the best thing because Chappelle thought it was the funniest thing he ever heard and roasted Matt about it and then invited him to hang out afterwards, which none of the other support acts around the country got to do. Yeah or nah? You can ask him questions.
It does feel like the sort of thing that like a Matt O'Kine's brain in freefall panic would do.
Dude, you don't understand how scared I was when I met him. It was like I was so nervous. I remember Craig, my manager, was standing next to me at the time. I was getting money out from an ATM and I was supposed to be supporting him that night. And he goes, dude, I don't want to freak you out, but Dave's just down there. And we both absolutely panicked. And I like, I didn't know what to do. And then we walked past
your
him and that's when it happened.
Panicked.
Oh man, we were both like, we both really liked him, you know? So I was like, I've never felt like that before. It was pathetic.
I tell you what, the only thing that's giving me pause is that I've never heard this story before, and I feel like it's the sort of thing I would have heard from you, like in person or material, but it does have a flavour of truth about it. So I'm
Listen, I didn't date Madonna, all right? It's not the story that I lead with whenever I go out anywhere.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah.
That's not what she's telling people.
I heard it was Sean Penn, Dennis Robin, Matt O'Kine, in that order. That's what I heard. You going to say yeah, are you, Ben?
I am, yes.
The correct answer was nah. Matt wasn't that uncool. He was very cool around Chappelle. But you were worried about what you were going to call him, right?
Yeah, I didn't know whether to call him man or bro. Like, hey, hello, David. I didn't know what to say.
David's nice and respectful. That's good.
But actually, you know what's funny? We were backstage at the Adelaide. This is where I first supported him in Adelaide. And we were backstage and people were like smoking weed and drinking after the show. And me and Nazim and like... I don't know if Luke McGregor was there at the time. But we were kind of all like nervous, just sort of watching him, David,
what?
His entourage, do his thing.
Luke McGregor nervous? No. No.
And, and like, there's all these like rap playing and stuff like that. And this is backstage in the convention center, you know, green room or whatever. And then suddenly like the rap stopped. And then like this song came on and I'm like, hold on, I know that song. And Dave, like, stopped talking to whoever he was talking to, ran over to his iPod and quickly pressed next on the iPod. And then, like, another rap song started coming off. And I was like, dude, was that Crowded House? And he's like, come on, man, I'm 40 years old. So, yeah, that's what he's doing when he's not, you know, in the club. He's chilling out to take the weather with you.
I love that.
All right. Speaking of music and meeting people. So, Matt. Now, in 2003, Brent was the opening act for Duran Duran on their Australian tour. Each night, he would go out there and get booed by Duran Duran fans. And even after the tour had finished, he would receive death threats from Duran Duran fans because he had occupied their time for half an hour. Yeah, yeah. Or nah?
I'm going to say, oh, look, okay, wait. Which? How many dates, Brent?
Three.
Okay, which venues?
The Enmore.
Yeah.
Brisbane Entertainment Centre and the Metro in Melbourne.
And
we were put on because, remember? Do you remember the band Lotel?
Yes, Teenager of the Year.
Deep cut. Yeah, they pulled out the night before. So I was on stage at Home Bake. Someone walked off. As I walked off, I got asked if I wanted to play with Duran Duran tomorrow night. And I said, oh, yeah, of course. So we packed up. We went straight to Brisbane. Went backstage. It was like, you know, they thought we were a full band, I guess. So it was like a huge spread, bottles of vodka, two dressing rooms. And we're like, this is great. So we go up and get on stage. I don't know if you know, I got a bit of a potty mouth on the old mic. And I see sort of a commotion in the crowd. And then I grab a towel and I wipe my face with it while I'm playing. And then their road manager comes over and basically sort of pushes me and grabs a towel mid-song and says, "No one touches Simon Le Bon's towels." We're off to a great start. And then, yeah, I got pulled off after 20 minutes because we had too many complaints of parents with their kids there saying, "This is garbage. We can't have this guy ruining our big night out." And during that set, during it, there was a fight in the audience of like people who were, you know, on my side versus 5,000 people turning around screaming at each other. So it was quite a vibe.
Did this happen at every one of the three gigs or just the first one?
So that was the first one. The second one was in Melbourne. Okay. And yeah, that was more of like a gladiator kind of vibe because it was a smaller venue and a lot more angry men there who were just really unhappy.
Angry men.
I was in a pink shirt and white shorts.
Oh my God.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, yeah, I think that happened.
Yeah, Matt, you are correct. This is a true story. Yes. Yeah, point there for Matt. Back. Yeah.
I was dropping way too many facts.
It sounds like something that would happen.
Yeah, it was the best experience of my life.
I wish I could have seen that.
Seeing, I know, right?
Spod support Duran Duran, wow.
I saw you around this time, Brent, as Spod, at Revolver one night, and your band did this great thing, and I still talk about it, that all the band were wearing metal T-shirts. And after every song, they would remove one of the T-shirts and there'd be another metal band T-shirt underneath. And then for the last song, the guitarist or keyboardist just took off like 20 tops in a row. It was like still, it was a great gig.
He was prepared for a lot more songs than I. I'm tired.
Were you doing the T-shirt stuff for Duran Duran?
No, I didn't get time.
Yeah.
I think I took my shirt off just to give it a little taste.
All right. So, Matt, you got the point there. Now, to Brent. Sometimes Zoe Kunzmar will let her fingernails grow long. Then she'll have a bath. Then she'll sit in bed and bite them all as if they are a delicious digger station meal. Yeah or nah?
So when, like, will you swallow them?
No, I'm not a monster.
Well, it's not a meal.
No.
Unless on a digger station you spit it out, I'm not sure.
Yeah, she swishes
I don't eat them. I just bite them.
She's got the little spittoon next to her bed filled with nails.
Ding.
Yes.
You just hear the dings.
Oh, my girlfriend hates had a bath. It. She's like waking up in the night.
Kunzmar.
Yeah.
It's after a bath, so it's all, you got supple nails and.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, well, they're clean. They're clean is the thing. I am a real nail biter, and I tend to.
Show me your nails. Give me a.
I'm a real nail biter. Zoe, have you had to do stuff on like in ads or like on a TV thing where they like make you hold
stuff? Yeah,
and you have to like hide your nails because they're so gross.
Yeah, they aren't too gross. This is the thing. So I'm pretty like I have a bit of a system worked out. So they're not like. They're not disgusting. They're okay. Yeah.
For the listener, there's a little bit of the white on top. Yeah.
Little bit. So yeah, so yeah, it's quite
you
a
do well.
It's a process of like, you know.
Yeah.
Of restraint. Yeah. But COVID was really difficult though. And I think that's where this story comes from. Was like when everything sort of was like don't touch your face, wash your hands all the time. I was like, oh my God, I'm so anxious and all I want to do is bite my nails, but it's the one thing that I can't do. And so then I was like, you know what, I'm just going to save it up and then like just bottle in all that anxiety and then give them a good scrub and then go for it. So
back to your thing, Matt, about doing like filming stuff where your hands are shown. I was recently in a yogurt commercial where they had to have a close-up of me holding yogurt. And I cut my finger when I was in grade 7 in cooking class, and the scar tissue is built up around it. So it looks like I have a wart on my finger here, but it's not a wart, it's just scar tissue. And I was so freaking out about... Yeah.
Sounds like wart talk to me.
So are the sores on my balls, mate. They're just scar tissue too.
But I was so anxious in the lead up to this ad because I'd seen all the storyboard, how it was a close up on my hand. And then I was like...
Not a wart to be seen.
No one wants to buy warty yogurt, mate. No one's buying any.
Well,
it's one of the main selling types.
Wart it.
I did the ad with Nina Oyama, and then the rushes came back. No sign of the wart. No sign of warts.
Oh,
it's
well
all good.
Done. There you go.
It's all good.
All the stuff that I did on the weekly recently, there are a fair bit of, like, because I was playing opposite myself. There were often multiple me's, but every time you see my hand, often it's not my hand. It's a man's hand. Yeah. And there was like one guy on the crew who had quite dainty hands. So it was my hand double.
That was Charlie Pickering's hands. Okay. Oh, so what do you think, Brent? Do you think is it yeah or do you think is it nah?
Yeah.
Brent, this is a true story. Yeah. You get a point. You got a point, Brent.
Yeah. I'm on the board.
It's sort of true. I don't really do that. I sort of.
Oh, so it's untrue.
I don't know if you're, maybe you don't relish it as much.
Yeah.
All right. So to Zoe now. Now, when Ben was a child, his siblings once glued a bunch of coins to him using acrylic nail glue. His parents found out later that night when they saw a coin sticking out from under his sleeve, and Ben had to go to hospital to have them removed. Yeah or nah?
How many coins?
It was like there was like a coin. There was like a coin jar next to my bed, and they just took the contents of the jar. So there was like, you know, they didn't all stick, but it was probably 10, 12.
And which one stuck?
Dollars, $10 or $12, is that what you're saying?
It was probably like, I'm talking about 10 or 12 individual coins.
Right. And what sort of, which coins? Like 50 cents? Are we talking 20 cents? Five? What was the one? What was the one that you had to get removed at the hospital?
All of them. I'm like the mum saw, because we were like, it was like one of those things where like, you know, when siblings are doing stuff and then all of a sudden like they're angry at each other and then all of a sudden they realize they've gone too far and then they have like united front where they're like, oh, our parents must not know of this. So I was wearing like pajamas and I'd covered most of them, but there was like a 20 cent piece that was glued to my wrist that was sticking out from there when I was having dinner. And mum was like, let me see that. What's that?
A 20 cent piece.
Sounds big.
And then how did they remove it?
They had solvent at the medical centre.
They had solvent at the medical centre?
Yes.
And it was just acrylic nails. So your mum didn't have, like, nail polish remover or anything?
Nope.
Nah. Nah.
Zoe,
I think this
you
is
are
a nah.
incorrect. This is a true story. You are wrong there. A point for Ben, yes.
What? I thought that was a nah for sure.
Nah, it's true. It was in retaliation for a prank war that I'd taken too far. Like, my brother and I was probably, like, 14. He would have been, like, 11. And we just had one of those days where we were just doing shit to each other all day. He filled my school bag with, like, talcum powder. I, like, cable-tied a bunch of stuff to a bunch of other stuff in his room. But then I took it too far. When he came home from school, I pretended that I'd, like, cut myself really badly and, like, was bleeding everywhere. And he was 11 and completely freaked out and, like, ran down the street crying. And so my sister was like, okay, we'll get him. And so they glued coins to me. I don't think they, like, really thought it through. Like, my sister was just like, I've got this acrylic nail glue and we'll just find something. I'll hold him down. And the closest thing to hand was, like, this little dish of coins.
Why'd they let that? Oh, so they held, you let them?
No. My sister was older than me and I was, you know, and remain quite a weak person. And so...
And the
it's
prank was
prank.
That you could
Good
you could never
him.
Ever yeah. go through a metal detector. That's what it was. Okay. Yeah. At the end of that round, the scores are Brent, you're on 1 point. Matt, you're on 3 points. Zoe on 5 points. We're on 8 points is Ben. But
all right, I'm
still,
coming back.
There's still a round to go. It's still anyone's game.
Can I get 5 points in this round?
Yeah, you could get 10 points, Matt.
All
okay?
right, here we go.
All right, this round is called Who. In this round, I'm going to read out 10 questions about the four of you. If you think you know who it's about, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. Only round you can lose points. So here we go. Question one. Who here had a job where they would go to high schools and teach kids how to juggle?
Matt.
Yes, Matt.
That's Zoe.
No, that is Ben Jenkins. A point off, Matt.
Fuck.
I can't juggle.
I don't know. The you sad... do that physical theatre sort of stuff. I thought
yeah,
you.
Nah. No, I'm not a
Matt
nerd.
Matt thought the sad thing was about you.
I'm cool, Matt. I'm cool.
All right. Do I lose a point now?
Yeah, you lost a point. That's all right. There's still 9 to go. You can still get it back. All right. Next question. Who here as a child was a frog person? Really
Brent.
Into frogs. Yes, Brent.
Zoe.
Yes, it was Zoe. Yeah, point there for Brent. Yeah.
Grafton. I am a nerd.
Yeah. screams frog person.
Love frogs.
Yeah, I used to catch them. We used to have tree frogs in our outdoor toilet when I was growing up, and I always used to name them after politicians.
Oh,
you're like, this is Bronwyn Bishop.
I thought you meant like this is
have told us that.
Frog Hawk. Or
no, yeah. Not even. No.
All right. All right, next question. Who had a job in accounts for a government organisation? Who was doing the accounts for
Matt.
The government? Yes, Matt.
I'm going to say Brent.
Yes, you are correct. A point there for Matt, yeah.
Okay, I'm back.
I stink of it.
What were you doing there? Just like filling in timesheets, sending them out saying...
No, I didn't work there for you. I was like a payroll manager for the government, for the Olympics and shit.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Until I got made redundant. Cashed in.
Oh, they are...
I left school and pretty much stayed there for 10 years.
Wow.
Nice.
So throughout all the beginning of Spot and stuff, it was just all financed by the Australian government.
Yeah. Right?
I didn't get a grant. I just got a salary and did zero work. So I apologize for anyone who got over or underpaid for the Olympics or the Premier's Cup.
I don't think they'd want an apology if you overpaid them. I think that's cool.
I only ever overpaid.
Yeah.
I was a good guy.
All right, next question. Who, at 8 years old, had a birthday party at a bowling centre where they got to take home a bowling pin?
Zoe.
Brent.
Yes, Zoe.
I believe this is Matt O'Kine.
You are correct, Zoe. That is Matt O'Kine, yes.
I was even trying to throw you by pretending to answer.
Yeah.
I thought, if I look like I'm answering, they won't think it's me.
Shit. Got it.
I did. Milton Bowles, shout out. There's nothing cooler than being able to take home a
That's
your own
amazing.
Bowling pin.
That's
pretty sick.
Until you realise that there's literally nothing you can do with it when you get home.
No, you need just got to go back 9. Every year. Yeah, you got to go back every year until you're 18 to get the whole set.
Yeah, that's the problem.
My friend Dave wanted to buy the bowling shoes. He wanted to wear them as shoes because he liked the look of them. And he kept on going I reckon he went there every week for like 3 months saying, can I just buy the shoes? And I go, no, we don't sell them. No. And so one day he just went in there and went, I'll just play a game of bowling and just not collect my shoes. So he was prepared to pay like 40, 50 bucks for these shoes. And then he just paid $9 for one game and wore them, played the game and just walked out and wore his old shit shoes there. And it was like,
there's a genius to that, I got to say.
Yeah.
Giving it to the man, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Who here...
Unless you got like sick Air Maxes or something.
Yeah. Who here once pissed their pants in a toilet cubicle? So they were in a cubicle and still pissed their pants.
Matt.
Yes, Matt.
I'm going to say that's Zoe.
That is Zoe, yes. A point there for Matt, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of the gender thing gives it away a little bit, doesn't it?
Not really.
Yeah, it was more that you were just sort of sitting there like smiling as if you were remembering it. You know?
It was a proud moment. I mean, it was a shameful moment, but then I was quite proud because I was on a date. And at the pub group, but I was with the girl that I was seeing, and we went into the toilet cubicles at the same time. She was in the next cubicle, and I just didn't get my jeans undone in time, and I was wearing skinny jeans, and I was like, "Oh, it's happening now!" And then I fully pissed myself while carrying out a conversation with her, and then I was like, "What the fuck am I going to do?" And I said, "Oh, hey." Oh, no, I just got a text from my friend. She's just broken up with her boyfriend. I'll meet you back out in the bar, but I'm going to have a conversation with her. So she was like, yeah, cool. She went out. And then I was like, took off my pants because, like, this is, I have a big piss mark on my black skinny jeans. I took off my pants. I was like, do you know what I'm going to do? Make them all wet. I'm just going to cover up and make them all wet.
Wow.
So I unscrewed the top of the cistern of the toilet. So, like, I can't put it in the toilet water, but that's clean. So yeah. I unscrewed the top, MacGyvered
You're
it
not
off.
An animal.
No, I took off my pants.
What the fuck, Zoe?
I took off my pants. I washed them in the thing, then wrung them out so they're just all fully damp.
Was there not a sink in the bathroom?
You can't take your pants off in a pub bathroom and wash them in the sink. No, I was like, I can't go out there. So, yeah, I washed them in the cistern and then, you know, put that back on. And then I, like, went and stood under the hairdryer for ages. And then I went and I stood – it was in Adelaide. And I stood – it was quite a warm breeze and I stood on the – top of a hill, like a little bit away from this girl that I was seeing, just having like quite a serious conversation with my friend who'd broken up with her boyfriend apparently. And then I went back to the table and immediately spilled a schooner on my lap.
You're joking.
Yeah.
Very smart. Still got laid.
Covered it up. Still got laid.
And then they realised there was no actual spill mark on your jeans.
Yeah, it was already wet. Already soaking.
Hang on a second. And you smell like piss.
All right. Next question. Who here was too scared to tell their parents they had tinea, so they did nothing about it for a whole year?
Zoe.
Yes, Zoe.
Ben. Jenkins.
No, that was Matt O'Kine. Point off, Zoe.
No.
Soz, mate. Yeah, that was me. I was just embarrassed. You know when you think you've done something wrong?
Yeah.
Like I was like, I can't tell Mum that I've got tinea. She'll think that I've done something wrong. So I just lived with it for a year and my feet got so flaky and bad.
Yeah.
And I had to go to school. I had to weave. I'd get tissues and weave them in between my toes to stop, like, just to soothe them. For like a whole year I did this. And eventually I walked into Mum's room one night. I just couldn't bear it anymore. And I just said, I think I've got
I've done
tinea.
Something terrible.
I think I've got tinea. And she was like, oh, okay. And then just got some cream from the drawer. And it was like gone in a few days.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck.
It's funny though what like kids are afraid to like tell their parents. Like I have a friend whose kid is going through like a kind of hard time at school at the moment. And this friend was telling me that their kid is finding it difficult to open up about it. And I was like, I heard that just before I was putting my son Moses down to bed, and he's like only 2.5. But I said to him while I was putting him in his jammies, I was like, hey buddy, I just want you to know that like, if ever you're sad, you can tell me, okay? And he went, I'm sad. And I went, no, you're not.
Go to bed. Go to sleep.
Exactly. It was such bad parenting. It was such bad parenting.
You could have at least given it a day.
Yeah.
Believe him right on the spot.
Right. Next question. Whose first kiss was outside of Seagull World?
Brent.
Yes, Brent.
Ben.
Yes, you are correct.
I think Brent. That. Yes. Yeah.
You got a Seagull World vibe.
Who was it with, Ben?
Can I
Sonic,
say I
Sonic the Hedgehog, right? The big it was statue with Sonic, of Sonic the Hedgehog.
It was with Knuckles the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I'm more of a Tails man myself, but anyway, you do you.
I don't feel so bad about this because I doubt she remembers my name either, but I do not remember what her name was. She was a friend of a friend.
Oh, you don't remember her name?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Was it daytime?
Yeah, it was daytime.
And were you drunk?
No, I was like 12.
All right, listeners.
You don't remember your first kiss's name.
If you had a kiss with a little boy
a
out
player.
From Seagull World, what year are we talking? We're talking what, 2000?
2002? No.
2002 Seagull World. If you kissed a boy called Ben out the front of Seagull World.
No.
2002?
2000.
You were
2.
No, that's
yeah,
wrong.
You would have been
2000?
Like
12
you'd
in
been
2002.
No, I was 18 in 2004, so 98, 99 is what we're looking for.
Okay,
2099.
Right into the podcast. Let us know if you had a little smooch with little Benny Jenkins.
I had a pash out the front of Seagull World with a girl.
Ooh, nice.
I was a very effeminate boy. It could have been.
Were you wearing a cashmere jumper?
Sounds like the sort of thing I would have done.
Yeah. It was me.
Wonderful.
Well, it's nice to see you again.
Yeah.
I'm glad I could bring it together. All right, next question. Who here once overheard two nerds discussing how Big Bang Theory was offensive because the Sheldon actor wasn't a real nerd and was therefore doing nerd face?
Matt.
Yes, Matt.
I'm going to say that was Zoe.
You are correct, Matt. Yeah, point there for Matt.
Only because of Zoe's use. I mean, and I'm team Zoe as well. Hate nerds. So.
Big time.
Can't stand them.
It was pretty good. It was the one moment where I was like, yeah, PC culture's gone too far. By PC culture, I obviously mean like as opposed to Mac.
Yeah. So did you actually hear people talking about nerd face?
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually funny. It was these two it was backstage at a comedy gig in New York, I think, and these guys were like, "Yeah, it's fucked, man, because like the guy who plays Sheldon, like it's nerd face. It's nerd face. Like, and it's, you know, it's offensive actually, because if you see him in interviews, the actor is like, he doesn't even speak like that." And I'm like, "Yeah, he's an actor. What is happening?"
Wait, what's which one's Sheldon? Is he the guy from Roseanne? Guy, Jim Parsons.
Jim Parsons.
Yeah,
I don't know. He's not that far from being.
I was
going to
say, he's not like.
But it's like, I don't know. It's like them going like, "Do you know the guy, the actor who plays Darth Vader?"
Yeah.
He's not even like a. He's not even
intergalactic,
like a
tyrannical. Yeah.
Like, what? C-3PO isn't even a real robot.
All right, next question. Who here has a signed rundown sheet from the Steve Weiser Tonight Show?
Matt and... Oh, it could be Ben Jenkins, though, but I'm going to say Brent.
You are correct. It was Brent. Yes, a point there for Matt. Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm coming back.
And I got this mug.
Oh, my God, amazing.
I was like, does anyone remember the show? Like, it's, you know,
I remember
me up because I'm old.
Well, that's why I thought it could only be you, because I think I just missed the Steve Izard era.
It's weird. Like, I would have been like 10, really into Steve Izard.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you know, Mum took me
to the show. She got me a hat and.
Oh, so this was from a taping and they gave me the rundown. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I went up and I waited to meet him and, oh, God. Big Vizard guy.
And our final question for the game. Who here had a job where they got to whisper in Lindsay Lohan's ear?
Matt.
Yes, Matt.
I know that this is Ben Jenkins.
You are correct. It was Ben Jenkins. Yes, a point there for Matt O'Kai.
You make it sound a lot more intimate than it
was. Yeah, I know. It's cool. It's what I do.
You worked on Masked Singer, right?
Yeah, I was the panel producer on Masked Singer. So my job was sort of being in Lindsay's IFB, the little earpiece thing, and sort of suggesting things that she could say and not say. It was a very strange job.
Well, because she was like, it's, you know,
it's cricketer Brett Lee.
Yeah, why would she know? That was beautiful to watch.
In fairness, she did do a lot of research. She did too much research, I think. At one point, I had to pull her back when she was like, "I think that's Mahalia Barnes." And I was like, "There's no way that you know who that is." But she did. She did a lot of work. Just often... Because one of the difficulties in that format is you have to make so many guesses every episode. And they don't like it, you know, double guessing certain people. You know what I mean? Like, you got to come up with fresh names. And it's really hard. And it would have been much more difficult for her because she doesn't have, like, a wealth of Australian pop culture to... So, yeah, my job was sitting about, I don't know, a couple of feet from her in a little booth with a little microphone talking to her in her ear.
All right, at the end of the game, the scores are Brent Griffin, 3 points. Zoe Kunz-Marr, 5 points. Matt O'Kine, 7 points, but our winner on 8 points is Ben Jenkins.
Hey!
Damn it.
Well
so
done.
Close, Matt.
I
so
really
close.
Thought I'd come back there enough.
You did very
I
good.
I worked hard, but nah, fair enough. Well, good, well earned, Ben. Well earned.
Now, thank you, guys. That was a real pleasure
stuff,
winning.
Because
you win, you can plug whatever you want to plug first. You got a podcast? You do a podcast?
I do a podcast with Michael Hing called Free to a Good Home, where we go through classifieds and chat about them. It's better than it sounds, I think.
You recently did a podcast with John Gabris.
Yeah,
we
did a podcast
a couple of times.
Yeah, that was super fun and great. And we did one with Jesse Thorne, Jordan Morris. And yeah, it's been a real fun little time where me and Hing have had time to do them more. So yeah, it's called Freedom Good Home and it's on the internet.
Sweet. Hey, Matt, where can people find you?
Got a new hip hop EP out under my side project Boilermakers. I'm a rapper now, so listen to it, please. Spotify. Hey, the other thing is my podcast, Matt and Alex, is on Listener every single day. So me and Alex Dyson, who you might have used to hear on us on Triple J, we got a daily podcast, so listen to that.
Awesome. Hey, Zoe, where can people find you?
Oh, I don't know. In my lounge room. But don't drop around.
Yeah.
Don't drop over. That's too weird.
You will be shot on sight.
I don't know.
How many hours notice before we can come around?
It's 7 at least.
7 hours, okay.
I don't know, watch my comedy special on Amazon. You know, it's there. Or watch someone doing jokes from it. It's an Indian teen.
Improving jokes, potentially, with funny faces and, yeah.
Yeah. I just got a toy poodle puppy and you can follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, have you got a dog account? What's the dog account name?
Top Chef Poodle. His name is Top Chef.
Right,
yeah.
I love it.
All right. Brent, where can people find you?
Oh, mate, you just get on the net. Check me out. Bodzone. I think on Instagram and stuff. I've got a song coming out next week, hopefully, if I do it this afternoon.
Oh, great.
That's a bit of fun.
Ooh. Awesome.
It's a bit political.
Ooh. Is this going to piss off the Duran Duran fans once again?
Oh, yeah.
They're going those guys are going to be livid.
He's tackling
it's called
nerd
Simon
face.
Le Bon's towel.
Top Chef Poodle, eh?
Yeah, Top Chef Poodle.
Hey, thanks everyone for playing. Hey, if you're out there and you want one of the... I got new merch. I got new T-shirts. Go to joshearl.com.au. I got nice new black T-shirts with my lovely face, but you can't really tell it's me. It's really cool. Thanks everyone for playing. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.